Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Hannah Norris, and this is my husband,
Carl Donnelly.
And we have a new podcast for you. It's called The Keith Cheggers Podcast, and it's about pregnancy, because that is what's happening in our lives right now.
And inside your belly.
Yeah, so we are recording weekly episodes throughout the course of my pregnancy, talking to each other and interesting and funny guests that we have on about their experiences with pregnancy, so we can work out a bit more about what the hell is happening and what is coming up for us. So tune in, subscribe, and have a listen to the Keith Cheggers Podcast.
Bye.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, my darlings. Hello. Hello, my animaniacs. Sue said we should give you a name, you know, like Lady Gaga called all her followers names. So we're calling you the Ani... What was it, Sue?
Animaniacs.
All right, Sue, don't spit all over me. I'll drown. And it's toxic. You're burning my skin, darling. You know that. Go and get a cloth or something. Anyway, animaniacs. Thank you for that, Sue. Not so much thanks for the poisonous acid-like spittle. Welcome to Talking to Actors. I'm sorry you had such a gross beginning to the show there. We're back. I'm back, anyway, after another fucking hiatus. I know I keep going and coming back, but it's, you know, it's just trying to work it all out. As I mentioned before, I did have a spot of nervous exhaustion, I think. Self-diagnosed, but still. Got in touch with a doctor, lovely chap. He said, "How are you, darling?" I said, "I'm all right. But I think I've had a bit of nervous exhaustion, you know, blah, blah, blah." Imagining this long fight between me and the doctor while I tried to get some pills off the fucker. Just give me the fucking pills, you know. "Oh, but no. Have you tried running? Have you tried yoga?" You know what they're like. But no, he immediately just said, "Well, I'll up the dose, shall I?" I said, "What?" He said, "Well, what do you want to go up, you know, 10 milligrams? Shove it up 10 milligrams for my dose?" I'm talking about my antidepressants, of course. "What, are you serious, doctor? I mean, come on, at least put up a bit of a fight. You know, it's not, you don't just give it to me. The chase is why we do it. It's about the hunt." God, what a terrible doctor. Anyway, he's up the milligrams and we're a lot better already. I'm having a whale of a time. Right now, I am hung to fuck, as John Smells used to say. And by that, I mean my head. It feels like Sue Clinch did a dump in it last night. And to be honest, I wouldn't put it past her. I don't know how she do it, but she has ways. She's not well, bless her. She no, Sue, no, I'm just talking about my headache, all right? Don't have to get angry. And get that cloth! What was I saying? Yes, so I've got a horrible hangover. It really hurts. So I'm going to get this out. This is just the introduction. And then we'll finally have the interview with Johnny Donahue, one of my oldest pals. Wonderful friend. It was so good to chat to him. I'll be honest, we had to do it in two halves. There was a 24-hour break between it. And the second half, I forgot to put on my good microphone. In case you're wondering what the fuck's going on, I don't know how you've got onto this, but, you know, good on you. I'm Anna Mann. I'm an actress and a singer. I appeared in many things. A lot of short films, actually, directed by the wonderful Antonio Booth. I don't know if anyone remembers him. There was a man. Real man. He could crush your skull like a grape. Perversely, he couldn't crush a grape at all. But no, he directed the films, he starred in them, did all the music himself. Unfortunately, he could only play the tambourine, so it sounded awful. Very hard to hear the lines, you know, because every time someone talks, you just hear this kind of jingly smack going on throughout it. Jingly Smack was actually one of his movies. It was about drugs that were transmitted through music. Wonderful sci-fi, very terrifying, and could happen, actually. I don't know if you've heard about this 5G conspiracy, a conspiracy I wholeheartedly agree with, but then I'll believe anything. No, but we did some other great films. We did Jittery Smack, of course, the supernatural thriller Rosemary's Bush. I don't know if you saw that, where a woman is convinced she's giving birth to a bush, a rosemary's bush. "Don't you understand? My baby is a rosemary bush and no one will believe me." Sadly, it didn't work because I can't say bush. Either comes out as bash or bush or bush. You know, it's the Nottingham thing anyway. I know you could try and take the girl out of Nottingham, but you can't get her to say bush properly. That's what they say. Also, we did a wonderful, recently, a very exciting apocalyptic film called A Stinky House. I don't know if you've heard about this. It was great. The idea is that all of humanity, pretty much all of humanity, has been wiped out by these terrifying creatures from outer space that have just killed everyone. But these creatures are completely deaf, dumb and blind. The only way they can tell if you're there is if you do a trump, a fart. So basically you have to spend the whole time just keeping in your fart, you know, because if you just do a little pop, rah, they'll just rip you to bits, you know. I was the mother of this family, desperately trying not to fart, and Antonio wanted us to go full-on method, you know, so none of us could fart for the whole of the time we were filming, and if you did let one rip, you know, he would come at you with a shovel, you know. So it was a real encouragement to keep the farts in for the entire time. We were filming for 6 weeks, you know, and we were eating beans constantly. That was the only food he could get, because, I mean, he's a low-budget filmmaker, so all the beans were just, you know... Well, he'd stolen them, let's be honest. It was really difficult, you know, and one of the older actors did pass away. If only he could have passed wind, I said at the time, which I thought was a bit harsh, you know, but we did all laugh. Anyway, I'll talk some more about Antonio Booth next time, because he was a good friend and he was quite an interesting fellow. Anyway, on with the interview. Before we jump in there, I just want to say thank you, darlings, for all the wonderful comments and tweets and stuff about Colin Holt, my uglier half's appearance in Afterlife 2. It's been very lovely to get that. We fucking live for it. We really do. It's the only reason we do this is praise. Let's be honest. And also don't forget Saturdays, 10 p.m. Tune in twitch.tv/nextupcomedy.com for Anna Mann's late night cheese, sex and self-isolation party. We're having a week off, right? It will be on in 2 weeks from yesterday. We're having a week off because I just want to, you know, do a bit of work and consolidate all the ideas and make it better and more wonderful and blah, blah, blah for all of you. Oh, yes, and don't forget you can help the show by going on patreon.com/annaman and giving us a couple of quid there if you want to. It's not a charity or anything, but, you know, if you feel like you'd like to pay for the content you are receiving, it is very much appreciated and obviously helps me make more. Anyway, I'll pass you over into the hands of the wonderful editor, Dan Snellgrove. It'd be interesting to see what bits he decides to keep. We'll be more regular soon, unlike the cast of A Stinky Place, of course, who, after that experience, could never really be regular again. Enjoy!
I am Annaman. Annaman is who I am. I am.
That's too high, darling. I did say that. I did say that. Hello. Hello, Johnny.
Hello. Hello, Anna.
How are, oh, bless you. Bless your beard.
It's huge, isn't it?
You're allowing it to really go.
I don't know how to use electric... The thing
a strimmer. A trimmer.
A strimmer
or trimmer.
Use them. I don't know how to trim or strim. I'm just waiting for the barbershop to reopen.
It suits you as a human. It suits your lifestyle and your politics.
Messy and left-wing, like the beard.
It's all very much to the left, unfortunately, as you've ridiculously shaven the right.
Well, like I said, I don't know how
that political? Is that because you hate the right?
Well, I do hate the right. Always have done. But the beard is just a catalogue of errors.
Johnny, of course, does a lot of political stuff, don't you, darling? Would you say that's your stock in trade?
Yes, I think I tend to deal mostly with politics, and I've also done shows on depression.
And never the Twain Shall Meet.
Oh, no. Very important.
Have you ever seen that sitcom, by the way? Never the Twain. It tends to come up a lot, mainly because I bring it up.
What was it? Is it a 70s?
It was about two rival antiques dealers. I'm not making it up. They weren't so much dealers. They owned shops. Does that make you a dealer? I guess.
I think so, because you've got to buy and sell.
I must watch it. It was Donald Sinden. Ronald Sinden, that one.
Yeah. And Windsor Davis.
I don't know how it came about. I'm very interested in how these sitcoms get pitched. Having tried to pitch sitcoms myself for a while, I did one that was just called Sue on the Run. It was all about Clinch, or my best friend Sue Clinch. I don't know if you know, but she goes on the run. I don't think she's ever killed. I say it a lot. I say, Sue, you've killed, haven't you? And she just has that faraway look in her eye, but she could just be She could just be thinking of Jaffa Cakes, you know? It's impossible to tell.
How did you meet Sue?
How did I meet Sue?
Yeah, how did you end up with her?
We're friends from a long time ago. Fuck. I think it was in a forest, actually. No, I think it was. I think it was like one of those sort of, you know, where you go away and you create something in a forest. Have you ever done that? Mm. Like devise? You've devised theatre, haven't
you? I've never in a forest, but...
Well, imagine what you do, but in a forest. You know, and you're all kind of tops off and banging drums and stuff. And then something comes out of it. It's a lot of fun. Johnny, let's get on to you.
Yes,
you know, enough about Sue Clinch, because she tends to dominate. She really does. I got a thing the other day from someone on Twitter. What was it? The World According to the Woke People or something. I still can't understand it. Have you seen it? It's like a...
I've not. No,
like
no.
Like a meme or a GIF or whatever. But it's like a graph, chart. And on one side it says far left. On one side it says far right. And then there's a bulge, you know, like as... And it says Nazis in the middle. And then it says center underneath. So I guess the idea is woke people think people in the center are Nazis.
Right.
I think he was having a go at me. You know when you can't tell if someone's having a go at you?
Yes,
but what confused me, along the bottom it says woke, alt-left, centre, right, far-right. And then under alt-right, I remember it says some white people is one of the lists. Do you know what I mean? So it's... I don't know. What I'm trying to work out is what's the point they're making and are they having a go at me or agreeing with me? I don't know, because I'm not that woke. My daughter Mahogany is.
I would be fairly confident if someone is bothering to create something and send it to you on Twitter that they are disagreeing with you and antagonistic, because people don't seem to take the time on Twitter to say nice things.
No, that's true. So they had 14 followers, which is a massive giveaway, isn't it?
It is. It means they don't exist, you know. There's a lot of right-wing bots, aren't there?
That sort apparently, of, yes. I bump it all the bloody time.
Yeah. I am very left-wing, that's true. And you asked me earlier, do I hate the right? I don't hate anyone. The thing with hating someone is it doesn't allow you the space to think clearly and rationally. Therefore, I wouldn't have been able to deal with Hitler very well if I purely hated him. I'd have to sort of have a level of neutrality. I guess that's also very tricky for people who've suffered under Hitler. I don't know how he got there so quick.
No, God, so quick. Can hate be a tool?
I think anger is fine. I think hatred is taking anger to a point where it's no longer in your control. But that's just my reading of it.
So this is talking to actors. You're an actor first, would you say? Let's hear the story. Let's have the Johnny Donahue story.
Talking to actors, trying to understand their process. We're talking to actors. Actors, yeah, they rule the world.
So we'll start now and then we'll go back. So currently the thrust of your work is Johnny and the Baptists.
Yes, I suppose that my time is divided between, I do Johnny the Baptist, who are a musical comedy duo that I have with my dear friend Paddy York.
And you're in it, you know that, don't you?
And I'm in it, I'm Johnny.
They are. Yeah. You've got to be careful.
Sorry. I should have said we.
Yes, we are a musical, not they are. I think that's very telling. And I imagine if Paddy's listening to this, he's absolutely furious right now.
Sure.
But yes, that's it's called comedy duo act.
Yes, and we tour.
A turn. Would you call it a turn?
I think we're a turn.
Why not? That word needs to be reclaimed.
We do our little songs and dances on the radio and live.
Very political, often.
And it is, I suppose it's satirical and it's silly.
Yes.
But we have a point to make as well.
Do you think the silliness stops it becoming... like really making the point, possibly? I'm not saying I agree with that.
Well, here's the thing. So we've had a right-wing government for... I mean, I try not to get too bogged down in this, but we've had a right-wing government for 10 years now. Mm. And so many things have happened that have changed the country, so many cuts. We've lost so many things. Really, what I try and do is provide entertainment for people who are sort of like-minded rather than try... I don't feel so much now you can go on stage and change someone's mind. Or certainly, if you do, it's not the thing that I do.
Show that I did against the fascists, obviously, which was the whole point, as I said, you know, was to learn all this stuff, research it, and then perform it for people who are already on our side.
Yes.
That's how you change the world. The UKIP thing, what happened there?
Yes.
Was it
called Down With UKIP or something?
It was called Stop UKIP.
Stop UKIP.
And we tried to go to UKIP supporting areas and talk to them about it. And there was a lot of tongue-in-cheeks, of course, but at the same time...
Deliberately, did you go to Skegness? Did you try there? Or
yes, we also went to... there's quite a lot of UKIP supporting in the southwest, Devon.
Devon! And,
right. Somerset.
Of course, yes. Oh, is it? Is that quite UKIP-y?
Well, I mean, nowhere's UKIP-y anymore because of the party sort of disbanding.
I know, as you said it, as you said, Stop UKIP, it immediately made me sort of long for UKIP to return.
The happy days of
that
UKIP.
Was easier, wasn't it? That was simpler because it was a very easy enemy in a way.
Well, we tried.
And I guess also you never know what's, you think it's bad, but you don't know what's coming that's going to be worse.
Well, we said in our Stop UKIP show, I remember Brian Logan, the Guardian reviewer, said of the show, aren't there better targets to be hitting at the moment? He also didn't come and see the show. He just wrote an article about it.
Oh, what a prick. He really is. He wrote an article about my streaming service, which I got very annoyed about. Oh, well, yes, because he sort of said, well, put it this way, at one point Olga was on it and she opened, literally did a fun thing from her bedroom. Cool. You know, we can't lean to our acts as such.
No, of course.
She just opened a drawer full of... stuff from her ex-boyfriends, which she hadn't looked at for years, and went through it. And it was a kind of, you know, a sort of time...
I think that's great.
Really good. And one thing he said, a lot of it felt untested. I mean, he said, I'm literally opening... She's literally... Anyway, fuck him.
He said, aren't there better targets to lampoon? And he didn't come to see the show. The show, we talked about how the thing that scared us about UKIP was that we felt they would be surpassed by someone, that it would open the doors to more sort of ultra-right-wing thuggery, that it would end up in the Tory party doing something drastic to get back their grassroots followers. And then 4 years later, obviously, Boris Johnson is Prime Minister.
Do you think it was a conspiracy on some level, or...?
I think...
Were strings being pulled? I mean, Cummings, Dominic Cummings, I was speaking to Mother the other day. She was talking about how a monarchy should be back and all this stuff. Talked about Dominic Cummings. She'd never heard of him.
Really?
The man who's in charge of most of her thinking, and she doesn't even know he exists. So with the tour, were you trying to understand how UKIP thrived?
With that show, we were trying to engage with people who we wouldn't see eye to eye on. And it was 2014, and I felt we could go and have fun with people who really disagreed with us. And we did, and we sort of chatted, and it was silly. And there was almost, we were trying to sort of come together and get people to see eye to eye.
They weren't taking it too seriously at that point.
They weren't coming in furious at us, likewise as furious at them. There was a dialogue. Now, I don't feel it's possible to go on stage and say, look, join the left to a bunch of right-wing people. We're so kind of diametrically opposed and angry all the time. I just think we would try and create something different now, and things exist in their own time. These days, my aim with our new show is to provide solace for people who are losing so much, you know, the NHS, for example. And I think...
From the coronavirus? From the
situation. No, I mean, as in the show I was working on before the epidemic would have been about the fact that we've had this government who have eroded the NHS and public welfare and community and all these things, and the left had just absolutely lost an election. So I was trying to make a show that was more about, well, let's at least enjoy each other. We have an hour together, because I just felt so blue.
Going into the personal and trying to
connect
and understand on a human level rather than a political level.
Rather than a political level. But that's...
I thought this... I know I've caused this, but I thought this would just be a jolly old chat.
Well, I was hoping so as well. You did immediately ask me about the right. Politics aside, I also have a big silly beard, and I love to be silly and sing songs.
If you're a fan of all things geeky, you're going to love Concessions, a brand new podcast by comedian Matt Hinton and myself, Beck Hill, where we interview your favourite cult heroes at Comic-Cons all across the world. We've got stars from Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Walking Dead, and more. Make sure you tune in soon to Concessions.
And as well as that, of course, you were going to do your own show, weren't you? Your own stand-up show.
That's right, in Edinburgh this year. 50% of my time is Johnny and the Baptist. The other half is I make comic theatre shows. I made a show with Duncan Macmillan called Every Brilliant Thing. I was previewing a new show called Forgiveness, which is about trying to get past the cycles of abuse that many people feel trapped in when they have children.
Was that a stand-up show, or was that more in the vein of Every Brilliant Thing?
It was more a sort of one-man theatrical show where I involved
the audience. Oh, I'd love to see that. And, are you still working on it, or have you just put it on the show?
Yes, I did 5 shows of it at the Vaults Festival in London, and then on the 6th day, the festival shut because of the pandemic. So I managed to get most of my shows in just before that. It's finished, and it's ready to go to Edinburgh. It is also a very joyful show. I talk about the birth of my daughter and the sort of hopefulness that comes out of having children. For me, and my partner is interrupting. I'll just have to.
That's what they tend to do.
What were we talking about?
I think. When did it begin? Then you were born, obviously.
I was born in 1983. I was born very dramatically. I was born, I think, 7.5 weeks early.
Wow.
Or 7 weeks early.
Were you tiny?
So I was tiny, tiny, tiny. No, my mother was in her kitchen. Hmm. And this is 1983. She lived in St. Albans in Hertfordshire. And she was in her kitchen. And she had a daughter, my older sister, who was 2 years and 9 months old. And she had a walk-in pantry because, of course, it was the past. Hmm. And she went into that pantry.
I'm living in one right now.
You are?
Yes, she has a... Well, I mean, you say a walk-in pantry, it's got a door.
So she went into the walk-in pantry, the door shut behind her, and she was locked in. Oh, she was heavily pregnant with me.
Yes.
Her 2.5-year-old is in the kitchen, you know, hot soup cooking on the stove, terrifying. And my mum realised she was going to have to get out of this pantry. The only person in the house is this 2-year-old.
How did it lock? Heavily pregnant. So it had a lock on the pantry door?
Once you were inside, it didn't have a handle.
Ugh.
So it's just...
People go on about health and safety gone mad, but it really...
This was the 80s.
Necessary, isn't it, when you think about it? Think about how doors used to work, i.e. they didn't.
Terrible. They didn't.
They didn't work at all.
There was this little window.
I mean, you've got... at one point I make on that, if a door can't open both ways, is it even a door, or is it just a cage?
It's a hatch.
Just food for thought. I'll be saying that later.
She climbed through this tiny window, had to sort of squeeze her pregnant belly through to get out, in order to get to my screaming sister. And then her waters broke, I think, later. And I think it's sort of...
The drama of that caused the birth to start.
And then I was born. And
as you were called to the stage.
Yes. And I'm just going to... I'm just being passed
my
daughter.
You're holding a baby yourself. Hello, darling. Look, what have you got on your top? Is that zebras?
Hello, little one.
She can sit here if she doesn't mind. Do you mind, darling?
She's lovely.
She's having a lovely yawn. She's tired, bless her. Nap
she time. Can't hear anything.
Really? You've got the headphones on.
I've got headphones in. No, she's not deaf.
So, yes. Where were we?
I was then born a few hours later, and I was absolutely fine. As you can see, I lived to tell the tale. But I think it's very dramatic for my mum. So that's why I became an actor.
Mummy! Oh, mama. Should we do this? Should we finish this later, Johnny?
I think we might have to. Is that all right?
Yes, that's absolutely all right.
Hello. So that was a bit of an interval. We're back 24 hours later. A lot has changed.
To the minute.
The PM has had a baby. And in fact, it was a baby who disrupted the last one. Wasn't it?
My baby.
Oh, fuck. I can't say her name, can I?
We don't say her name publicly, so if you could edit that out.
Quite right. Quite right.
Sorry, I meant to say that.
Do you say your own name publicly?
No.
Right, okay. Johnny can't say the name of the baby publicly.
No, nor my own, which has been a real problem getting work.
Can I say Johnny?
You can say Johnny, yes.
Oh, you just said it. I need to edit that out? I don't know. Gosh. Oh, goodness. How did you come to that decision to not say your name?
We decided we wouldn't make pictures of her or her name be available online until... Right. She was old enough to make that decision.
Yes.
But really...
What's that, 4?
Yes, 4.5. But really, it's not...
Does that include drawings?
Yes. Even crude ones.
And even a charcoal sketch.
Yeah.
By someone who's never used charcoal. Done a sketch. On on sandpaper. Which is completely impossible. I don't know if you've tried it. Sue Clinch is probably doing it. Charcoal on sandpaper. It's a funny thing. It's awful, isn't it? Absolutely butchers the ears. It really does. It's horrible. It's horrible. But you couldn't even allow that.
No, that wouldn't be... we'd have to confiscate that from Sue.
Quite right. Well, she was doing some, actually, so I made sure I burned them all. Although, can you burn sandpaper? Is that toxic?
I don't know. What's it mean?
I'll let her do it. I'll put her in a room. I'll close the door. And I'll wait for her to burn them.
Okay.
Right. I'll put them in the burning room. We have a burn... Do you have a burning room?
No, we don't. We do. We're very small flat.
Very small flat. Too small for a burning room.
Too small for a burning room.
Well, how many bedrooms is that then? Six.
It's yeah. We have two bedrooms.
Everybody had a burning room.
No, it's
normally not... like bathroom, kitchen, bedroom, burning room, isn't it? I've been living wrong my whole life.
I'm sorry.
It was Tony Sandwich who got me into the burning room early on.
Really?
Yes, he did a lot of experiments. He ran his own sandwich shop, Tony Sandwich.
Yes.
I don't think his name was even Tony Sandwich. He had a burning room because he did a lot of experiments with sandwiches and a lot of them didn't come out well, you know, and they had to just be burnt.
Oh, really? That bad?
Oh, God, they were really bad. I mean, toxic stuff. And the fumes were awful. Killed his mother. What are we talking about? So, yes, we can't see your daughter. Can we say it's a daughter?
Yes, that's fine, yes.
We can't look at her online.
You can look at... Online, that's...
I can look at her without... It's not like Medusa.
No, no, no. She doesn't... She has no powers.
Right, okay. And what about the mother? Do we only refer to her as the mother?
Well, you can say her name, which is...
Dan Snellgrove edits this.
Oh, good.
So he'll sort it all out. Don't worry.
He's a
gent. And he spends... He'll be hearing this in a minute. Let's hope he's recording for a start. He spends... I mean, I brought him in because, you know, there was a suggestion that some of my editing was below... par. And he spent 18 hours on one.
No.
18 hours. I said, darling, it's really not that good. I mean, I don't know what he did.
Did you pay him?
God, no. Well, no. I pay him through the Patreon.
So oh, very good.
Pay, and through the advert. And if she, who must not be named,
yes,
wants to go into theatre? This is a question I could ask a lot. Because obviously my daughter Hogg refused to go near theatres when she grew up and would be violently sick if I tried to take her in one. That was as an adult. But if she wants to go into your world, what advice would you say, do you think? Would you say yay or nay?
Oh, well, it wouldn't be up to me, but I would be disappointed.
Would it be up to the mother?
No, it would be up to her if she wants to go into...
Oh, yes, of course. Sorry, I forget that your children have their own...
Well, when she was very, very little...
That's where I went wrong with Hogg, I think. I forgot that she could make her own decisions.
You forgot that she was a person in her own right.
Yes, because I just saw her as a sort of an extension of my own work, in a way.
Well, she is probably your best work in many ways.
Oh, fuck no. Have you not seen Rogue Baker? It's about a baker goes rogue.
Well, that does sound very good.
So much better than her. She's just a quiet, dull girl. Rogue Baker, incredible. It's 4 hours long. It's an hour of just kneading. So, what were we talking about? I'm not getting a word in, Johnny. Yes,
what do we
think about she, who must not be named, becoming a performer herself, a comedian, an actor, a singer?
Obviously. I think... Having done it myself, and her mother also being a performer and a writer, I would say...
Just listeners at home, he's answering this question whilst looking at a text.
I was just out... My partner...
I don't find it rude. I just explained...
My partner just came in and said, how long will you be? And I was trying to write... 20 minutes without disturbing the flow of chat, but I really...
A lot longer than that.
Yeah. It is.
We barely scratched the surface.
When she was very little, we went on this big tour, Josie and myself together, with the baby. So
was
she
it was parade the baby around?
No, it was. I was to earn some money.
Oh, right. I forget about that. We need to do that.
I know. So she was quite exposed to the theatres quite early, and I hoped that would be enough to discourage her.
Right. You know,
there wouldn't be a sort of mystique to it because she'd sort of seen it. So hopefully she'll become an accountant and do my taxes. That's what I've always hoped.
Wouldn't it be wonderful? Or become an agent, a really good
one. Oh, that would be great. Or a commission.
Even just a mortgage lender. Anything, really.
Anything
helpful. Anything that actually helps.
Were your parents performers or in the theatre?
Oh, God, no, no. Mother was a killer, of course. Father worked in a factory. We never really knew what he did. We were very poor, you know, back then. We didn't, there was not an inkling of that. We'd often have to choose between curtains or trousers, you know. Poor man. He'd often have to go to work in his pants, which was horrible, if it was particularly bright outside. But he went very early on, lost Dad very early on, of course, right. In his ridiculous asbestos hat.
If you'd been raised by actors, do you think you'd have become one yourself?
Well, that is a good question, because I think a lot of my acting is rebellious. Yes. A lot of my theatre really is, quite literally, sticking a finger up at Mum. You know, that whole tour I did, it was called There's Only Mum in the Audience. And which there were people in the audience, you know, but what we'd do is I'd phone her up on FaceTime. It was a very recent thing. And she'd answer, and then we'd get I'd just stick a finger up at her, you know.
The whole crowd.
Say, what do you think of that, Mum? To be honest, she couldn't work FaceTime, so it didn't. But the whole of my career, I think, has been a rebellion against that stuff, if I'm honest. Mm. The drabness, the boring. Mum married, after Dad passed, Mum married very quickly. He was hanging around at the funeral, actually. It's what we used to call a widow shack. A horrible little man called Ron. Awful chap. Stunk of old meat.
What did he do?
He was a cobbler, but he would fashion a lot of his shoes from meat. He used to say, why wait till it's cured? You know, why not just do it straight off the beast?
Right.
Awful man. Really was a horrible man. And they didn't take off. I mean, they did take off. They came right off your foot. It was just made of meat. It's pointless. But all I wanted to do was get out as soon as I could. And when I got that taste of the theatre, then I had to just plunge into it, you know, legs first.
But what about... I think my daughter will do the same.
Mm.
And her rebellion against us having been performers will probably be to go into something a bit more...
Government.
Maybe. Government.
We'll need it. We'll need her. Yeah. We'll need her. So, we were doing your story, I think.
Well, oh, yes.
Mother had climbed out of the window? No, she'd been stuck in the pantry.
She was stuck in the pantry.
Mummy got in the pantry, yes.
And she did climb out through the window. There was a little window.
With you. Of course, with you in the belly.
And I was in the belly. And the little window was just a tiny window to the pantry where the milkman would leave the milk.
That's how small it was.
Yes. So it was sort of kind of...
Was it bottle-shaped?
No, it was probably like a small square.
Crap.
And she climbed through.
Was she a small woman?
She is a small woman.
Right. Well, that's a good start. You were big bulge. Well, you were 7 weeks early.
I was tiny, little thing. I went into an incubator.
And you think that's had an effect? Who knows?
I'm always late for everything, having been very early at the start. I wondered if that is sort of, I feel I've done my getting it in.
Well, also, you've got a square head.
I do have quite a square head.
Which will be from the window, I imagine.
That makes sense, I think.
I guess you went through and the head, I mean, because at that point you were still forming, so the head, the genes, I mean, forgive me if I've got my science a little muddled here, but the genes must have thought, oh, we're meant to be square.
Yes, so I've had a square head.
That's how it works. It sort of works like Terminator 2, I understand. Just sort of molds into the shape that it's needed. Yes. Well, that explains a hell of a lot. Never mind about that. Just come to me if you want to find out some truth.
Thank you, I will.
So then you grew up, and your parents weren't actors either.
Oh, no.
Well, your sister? You have a sister?
My sister is a primary school teacher. My mum was a teacher. My dad... a sort of not successful businessman. I think he was a sort of a salesman. I think he went around selling things.
Traveled around.
Not, he certainly wasn't like, you know, Donald Trump.
I mean, he's very successful. He's the president.
So they definitely weren't actors. No interest in it, I don't think. I think my mum had done some drama at school, which she'd enjoyed.
Is there anything you remember from that period? You know, some people, like with me, mother, she was so awful that I felt like I had to perform, you know, because the household was so unhappy. I had to
I moved
dress and dance around and stuff like that, you know, put on a hat and then take it off. Some of it was better than that. A lot of it, to be fair, I was very young. A lot of it was just putting a hat on and taking it off again.
Well, I think I moved schools and I went to a new school I hated. I had no friends because I didn't know anyone.
Was that the posh one?
That was the posh one that I got into. I ended up getting an assisted grant, a scholarship to this very posh school, which I didn't want to go to. And I had to leave all my friends behind. It was very sort of miserable. And I got there and I hated it and I didn't understand it. And I felt very out of place. And then I auditioned to be in a play and I made these friends and they were just brilliant. And I think
14.
Yeah. And I'd been there a while, quite miserable.
From 11.
Yeah. And so I think if I'd found that group of friends in maths or chess, I'd ended up wanting to do that with my life. Yeah.
And you're still friends with that gang?
I am. Lots of them I still see. And before the lockdown, I was going to go to Australia to do some festivals down there this year and visit my friend Claire, who I met then, and who's still a very close friend. She lives in Melbourne now. So, yes, I'm still in touch with quite a lot of them, actually.
So it wasn't a boys' school. I thought it was a boys' school.
It was a boys' school, but there was a girls' school. There were sort of two schools next door to each other, and they shared facilities.
And what was the first arts thing? Was it acting then you started? It was audition for a play. What was the role?
Audition for a play. It was a play called On the Razzle.
On the Razzle!
On the Razzle.
I'd been in that.
And the part I played was Christopher. He was actually one of the main characters.
He was on the Razzle.
He goes on the Razzle.
Was it like a night out, like a looking for...
I think it's two juniors in a big store are given... the boss goes away and they decide they've got 2 days to create life experience for themselves. So they go to Vienna they go wild and then they try and come back and it's a farce.
Are there prostitutes?
There are, I think, but they have to be in a farce.
How old were you?
14. It was 14, but I was playing a part...
production, isn't it? Even for a posh school.
Well, you know, posh schools are laws unto themselves, aren't they?
Yes. I was teaching you as a posh man how to pick up prostitutes in Vienna.
Well, that's what those schools are for, isn't it?
With singing and dancing and all that, was it?
Basically, yeah, singing and dancing and running around the stage. And I loved it so much, I then tried to be in two plays a term for the rest of my time there.
And did you get a sort of instant recognition? Was it a real case of, you know, like the end of Grease, the movie?
Yes.
But rather than a leather jacket, you've swapped it for a leather-bound book of Bill Shakes.
Well, I suddenly had a group of friends, and I went from being very, very introverted and sad to very happy very quickly.
Oh, lovely.
And I think I quit my paper round.
Is that right?
Yes, well, because I used to have this paper round that I'd get up at like 5 a.m, and it meant I couldn't, and it was every single day of the week, so I never stayed with friends or went and did anything, and I sort of quit it and decided to go and live a life.
Paper rounds are like fucking slavery, aren't they, really?
It was £13 a week.
Ugh.
And I had to do it 7 days a week, and it took about an hour and a half. So it really is terrible, but I saved the money and then had it all until I was 16.
And what did you use it with, the 16? Went on booze in one night, I imagine.
Yes, right. Cider and Smirnoff ices.
Lovely. So after that, did you go to drama school or anything?
I went to university and I read English and did lots of drama. But really, I'd sort of started making things. So I made things with these friends, some of whom had left, because everyone in this play was, apart from me, was in the sick form, and I was in year 10.
Right.
So a lot of my friends are older than me, and we started making plays, and we put one on in the town, and then we took it to Edinburgh. I'd already started doing things like that.
How old were you then when you went to Edinburgh?
17.
Oh, lovely. Oh, but you had a wild time, didn't you? What do you say for you, because I'm like this, you know, when lockdown happened, I was instantly right, I need to try and make everything at once.
Yes.
And I wish I was one of those actors. I've always had to make my own stuff because no one would, you know, employ me, quite frankly. So, I mean, when I was working with Smells, John Smells, you know, Rogue Baker and all that stuff, that was great because he was providing it. And then obviously lots of work, you know, you can take a horse to water, dot, dot, dot. And all
of course.
But then after that, I'm still always having to create something. I can't just sit around drinking. I mean, I sit around drinking, but I'm also just shouting things at Sue and hoping she writes it down, you know? Would you say you're like that? You're more a creator than a, rather than one of those actors who, you know, just gets picked up and put in something. You're the generator.
Usually, so the play I was in, On the Razzle, the part I played Christopher had all the punchlines.
Right.
Which is the best part you can imagine. Mm. You just get all the jokes. It was the most fun I've ever had. And I never got as good a part again. And so about 2 years later, I started writing. Because I was like, well, come on, I've got to make this. I was sick of playing, you know, Servant 4 I was in a costume play, you know, set in the 17th century, and I just played someone who brought, you know, like candlesticks in the back. It was so awful. So that's when I started creating things, was to get the good parts again.
Well, what you do in that scenario is you create lines for the play, or you'd really big faces.
Yeah, I think I probably really did that.
Serving what's happening and be like, ooh, you know, those, you know, stuff like that. It doesn't matter if you throw off the other actor. I mean, as you know, acting isn't working together. People say acting is reacting, and they're right. And if you have no lines, you react with violence. So let's talk a bit about Every Brilliant Thing.
See, that was a show where I came in after it had been started.
But they wanted you, didn't they?
They wanted me, and it had already begun. So that was one of the rare occasions in my career where it wasn't a case of having to scrabble to get this to happen. The story was there, and so was a lot of the script. But we worked on it extensively and made it an interactive piece where there were sort of lots of things happening. And so I ended up with a writing credit on it, although it is chiefly written, I think, by Duncan, who created it. I'm credited as written with.
And you've taken that all over the world, haven't you?
And then, yeah, we went to off-Broadway for 4 or 5 months. And
it's finished now. Is it, are you still doing it, or is it?
I'm finished doing it because...
How many did you do?
About 400 shows.
Wonderful.
And because it's a lot of improv, it's probably about 15 minutes of improvisation in the hour-long show every night. Right. It isn't... I think if it was just a straight play, doing it 400 times, I'd have killed me. But it was really different every time.
Yes.
And we filmed it.
Sorry, go on. You filmed it for Netflix?
We filmed it. HBO.
HBO.
So you can watch it on Now TV in Britain, or HBO Max.
And after that, what happened after that then? You went back to...
After that, I just got put in storage. They were the...
Is it kind of like, what do we do next? What's the next?
And that's what we're doing now. I'm making a new show. That's about, it's called Forgiveness, and it's about reconciling your own childhood with trying to raise a child. I think it's certainly for those of us who had a tricky childhood, it's very hard to then raise your kids well, and it's about that. And again, that's a theatre piece, it's very interactive. It was going to open in Edinburgh this summer, and then there's a tour booked in the UK from January. So it'll probably start now on the tour.
Is that the same people?
No, that's just, Duncan's not on this one. It's just me and the same producers.
Oh, that's very exciting. Well, Johnny, I better go, really, and you better go, I think.
Yeah, it's been lovely.
It's tricky, isn't it, catching up like this and trying to tell a life story when children are banging on the door. Play with me, play with me.
I know, don't have kids.
Play with them, but we'd rather talk about our autobiography, quite frankly. So Johnny and the Baptist are also doing a podcast at the moment.
Yes, it's called Johnny and the Baptist Making Paddy Happy.
Making Paddy Happy. And Bless Paddy is one of the most wonderful people, I think.
He is.
You didn't talk about him at all.
No.
I could chat to Paddy next.
You should. You should have him on the show.
And then we'll talk about you for once. And also you're doing The Cosmic Shambles.
Yes, every Friday night. We do a quarantine show called The Quarantine Show.
Quarantine Show.
And that's with John Luke Roberts and Josie Long and myself and Paddy.
And I did it.
Guests. You were wonderful.
Thank you, Johnny.
You headlined 2 weeks ago, I think.
What's that on? Because I know I've done it, but I still don't know.
It's, you can watch it on cosmicshambles.com.
Oh, or, right.
Or YouTube.
I'll chat again at another point. All right, Dan, we'll take care. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Talking to Actors with Anna Mann, starring Colin Holt, edited by Dan Snellgrove, part of the Great Big Owl family. Please subscribe, review and share. You can find Colin on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook and YouTube. And the same goes for Anna Mann. Just look her up, you'll find it. I'm Sue Clinch. Ta-ra.
GreatBigOwl.com.
My name's Pete Allison.
And I'm Dave Cribb, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends.
Each week we invite a guest on
ask them to pick their favourite episode of Friends, and then we talk about it in far too much detail.
Basically, if you like the show Friends, and you like it when people take things far too seriously, then you might well like this podcast. Search Great Big Owl on your podcast app of choice, and you'll find Friends with Friends right there.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.